Aces. Another big episode of Tommy Talks today. We've got a female athlete in Morgan Mitchell. She's high energy. We bounce off each other well. We talk about the athletics industry, what it's like to be a track and field athlete, going to the Olympics, what it's like hanging out with these Ukraine weightlifters. There's a cracker story there. Meeting Usain, David Beckham, hanging out with Mark Wahlberg, being the ambassador at F45. There's plenty. You know I love me running, so this is a great podcast. Stay right here and dive in. Aces, I know I always go on about the Rixies, but I got huge news. We have all our styles and colours restocked on the website right now. It's been months. We ran out of stock, but we're back. Get online, grab some sunglasses at rixeyewear.com.au right now and use our little discount code Aces if you want a 20% discount code on the house. Righto, let's get into the show. Well, we'll just roll in while Morgs is drinking. Welcome to Tommy Talks Morgs. It's been about 2 years in the making, this one.
I know. I'm finally here.
My gag off the top, you know, we always talk about Mr. Worldwide. If the male version's Pitbull, then you're the female version, which is Mitchell. Like, you are everywhere. You are everywhere. I've never seen someone jump on a bird, which is the plane for anyone out there that's wondering, more than you. Just like randomly. You just, one day, like, what are you doing? Yeah, we'll go for a run next week. Next minute you're in LA. You know, the next minute you're in Europe. Okay, what is she doing? And then you're with Mark Wahlberg doing F45 sessions. Like, what is Morgan's day-to-day? I'd love to know.
It's so funny because I actually live a very low-key life. And it's not until I get a call that I'm like, all right, cool. I guess I just got to pack my bags and leave. And most of it is thanks to F45, which I love. I know we'll get stuck into that, but
we'll dive in now.
Yeah, no, I mean, I started with them in 2020. I actually went to my first session was with my little sister Britt, and I thought, you know what, I want something different that isn't an individual sport. Like, I just want to be able to train in the off season with people who don't care about running, because you know what it's like playing footy. People are like, oh, AFL, how was your season? Rah rah rah. I'm like, I just don't want to talk about that shit. Loved it from the start, like hand on heart. And then my friend actually had the audition for the spot. She was in LA and I was in Chicago and she goes, girl, you've got to audition for this F45 thing. I'm pretty sure I was in off season. I'm like, I'm partying. I'm going out. Like, I don't really know if they want me right now. And then the guy called me and he goes, yep, you're an Olympian. You're an Aussie. You go to F45. Like, this makes sense. I said, yeah, but I'm not trying out for shit. Like, either you want me or you don't. 2 days later, we teed up, teed up a meeting and he was like, you've got the job. And now he's one of my close friends. But the coolest part is they've signed like a lot of awesome athletes. Mark Wahlberg's a partner with F45 now. And I think it's funny. I look at my life and I'm like, wow, the girl from Werribee has stood next to Mark Wahlberg, has caught up with, you know, David Beckham, has honestly, not just that aside though, but being able to connect with some amazing members as well is what like I honestly do cherish most, because hearing other people's story in the fitness industry who aren't athletes, I'm like, fuck. It's incredible hearing some women lose 200 pounds, 150 pounds. Sometimes I can't even wake up to go for my run. Like, you know, you've heard me ditch. I'm like, I'll see you Thursday. There is no Thursday. Sometimes I just want to get on a plane and go tan. So no, that's honestly, it's been the most rewarding part, I think, away from my athletics career to date, for sure.
It kind of gives you the accountability as well, because they've got so many people relying on you when you do these classes.
Yeah.
So you kind of got it, you know, you got to get there.
Dude, everyone thinks I'm the Hulk as well. They're like, oh, an Olympian? Let's give her the heaviest weight. Let's give her this. I'm vulnerable. I'm like, guys, I'm not actually that strong. I'm fit, but I know my limits. So just take away the 10 kilos, give me the 5.
Like, it's like the assault bike.
Boys, no, I'm not doing it.
The boys in Sydney, the Virtus, shout out, the boys in Bondi, but I'll go in there and do a couple of sessions and I'm fit, I can run. But as soon as you chuck me on an assault bike and make me do those repeat sprints, man, I nearly want to throw up like 5 minutes in, and then the next 30 minutes is like death. They're like, mate, how you going? I can't even talk.
And they're like yelling at you as well.
So I'm like, keep going. I'm like, mate, I'm fucked.
But how shit is the assault bike? Because not only does it hurt, but how stupid do you look like?
Oh, but it's all power. I got the skinniest legs. And I got long legs and arms, so I'm like yanking this thing, and he's like, "Come on, mate, more!" I'm like, "Mate, I can't go any faster. I mean, my legs are going weak."
I know your limit.
Yeah, well, that's why F45 is. I've done a few of them, but look, I like, as I said to you, I like just doing a nice run and doing my controlled weights, and just, you know, if I have to do one of those classes, it's Virtus in Sydney, and it just brains me. But yeah, you must get used to it though, right?
Yeah, for sure. That's all I do in off season now. So I'll hit maybe like, I want to say 3 to 4 sessions a week, and it's cool because every day it alternates between hybrid, where you get strength and cardio, and then you have a strength day and a cardio day. So for me, like, I love the cardio, but if I'm just not feeling it, I'll wait and just jump in on strength, because I don't have to go 100% all the time.
Yeah.
And that's genuinely why I do love it, is that you can choose how hard you want to go in that moment.
Yeah.
Unless I have those crazy bloody coaches, I'm not going to name anyone. They're like, come on, this is off season.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, guys, I just got back from Europe. Like, yeah. I'm lucky to even be alive right now.
God's sake. I'm just rocking up.
Yeah. I'm just here for fun.
Oh, that's great. So are you coaching in those classes as well? Like people's form?
No, just so working out.
Just working
yeah,
out.
Yeah.
So it's like, so what is your role? Like, is it an ambassador? Yeah. Is it what have they said to you? Like, how on paper?
Yeah, it's an ambassador role, which I love. But we've just signed another, I think, 13 athletes who are coaches as well.
Amazing.
And we just want to diversify the brand, where we've got, you know, Hoon, who lives in South Korea, and then we've got some guys that live in Dubai, London, Australia. And I think it's nice because it takes a load off me and lets the broader community know and understand that they are being seen and heard on all different levels. So I won't coach, but the other guys do coach. We can mix and match and, you know, we'll all travel around together. And I'm actually super excited about that because I would rock up. I remember my first time I went to Canada and we did a whole tour, Canada and America. And I think I clocked 40 something sessions within 2 weeks.
Wow.
And plus all the filming as well. And my body was just numb. And I thought, fuck, now I know why people who take on this role coach at the same time.
Yeah.
Whereas in my mind, you know what it's like being an athlete. You get in there and it's like, yeah, I'm fucked, but I have to prove a point that I'm fit.
Just keep going.
They don't care that I've been to 10 studios before this. But at the same time, I'm like, well, am I really complaining? I got that last minute call up to Canada, met some awesome people, ate some great food, went out to some cool parties.
Yeah.
Then we go on to LA, then we go on to Miami, then we go on to this.
Yeah, like, and that's what it looks like. It just keeps going. Like the show keeps going. Yeah. And it's like, oh, but hang on, David Beckham's in the house now.
Oh,
it's
that
like,
was sick. So I'm talk to me.
We all love the big dogs, right? But Bex's doco obviously just come out. Yeah. So everyone gets a better understanding of what he's like as a bloke. And geez, if you've watched it, you just love him
even
more.
Yeah.
I'd imagine he's genuine. But talk to us about when you met him, Mark Wahlberg. I think it was just recently, like obviously you would have met a lot of cool people, but how did all that go? Do they train? What did they train hard? Give us a little insight on what they're like.
I'm thinking about meeting David for the first time because I'm not really into soccer, football.
I love how you call
football.
Him David.
It's I know,
like
yeah.
Like, you know when you're like, I'm calling him Beckham because I'm a nerd over here, like talking, and she's like, yeah, David.
First name basis. No, I feel like it's in me, like, I call you Tommy, but fuck, if I didn't know you, I'd probably say Thomas. It's just something my mum ingrained in me.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Thomas is what I got when I'm a bad boy from mum and dad. They're the only ones that call me Thomas.
All my friends say that. They're like, my parents call me that. Can you not?
Yeah.
Whereas I know, like, especially with my African-American father, it was just a natural thing to call everyone by their full name.
Full name.
So, but when I met David Beck, I can't even say Beck.
David sounds
all
right. David.
But yeah, he was like, hi, I'm David. So I'm like, fuck, okay. Like, hi, David, I'm Morgan. And because I don't watch soccer or football, whatever you want to call it, I was more into his wife. I'm like, yeah, cool, but where's Posh? Like, Spice Girls and Me when I was a kid, fuck. But I remember he walked in, we shot, the first time I met him was in London, and he walked into the room and it was just like, you know how people have a certain energy about him and you can pick up on it?
Mm.
He has this fucking aura. It's not even energy. He walks in and everyone was just like, not because of his status, but even just him as a person, you can feel that he's like a genuine dude. And he introduced himself to every single person.
So funny when like, everyone knows
and
who he is.
And we're like, we get it. Like, mate, I don't watch the sport, but even I know who you are. Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's what I love about him is that he was so genuine, made sure everyone had water, made sure everyone was, you know, calm and okay. And then we shot some stuff and he didn't train that time. Then we shot again in Miami and he trained a little bit. And it was like, oh, he's still got it. Like, I don't know how old he is, but it was like, all right, daddy, let's go. Like, that was pretty cool. And it was just nice. It's like, I wouldn't say we're friends now. Obviously, he's got his tight-knit group, but it was cool. The two or three times that I got to hang out with him, he made you feel like you were a part of his, like, core group, if that makes sense. Mm. And it was just so funny. I'd go back to bed and I'm like, fuck. People would kill for that. Like, what an opportunity.
It just becomes normal for you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. it just becomes normal for you.
It's honestly like little old me.
Yeah, it does. Like, you know, when you meet those people, you just kind of, especially, I remember this is, you reminded me, I met Roger Federer at the Hopman Cup.
Oh, cool.
And geez, same thing. I was so nervous. But when he come up, he was that genuine.
It's insane.
It was like I was talking to you. And I think I asked him like what he was having, because he had to do, they play like Hopman Cups. They play, you know, individual and then the women go and then they do double. Oh, so I was asking him what he's eating between. He's got a little short period. He was just so genuine that it's you cool, forgot that it? He's the GOAT. Like, you know what I mean? You're just like, oh, Everyone's like, what'd you say? What was he like? I'm like, he literally was exactly what you see on television, which I love because sometimes, you know, they say you shouldn't meet your idols.
No, that's a thing. Yeah, that's still a thing.
Yeah. Well, maybe there's
some people you're like, fuck.
There's a couple that drink their own bathwater. But that's awesome. And then what about Wahlberg? The thing I'm interested about Wahlberg is his routine is well documented online, where he apparently gets up at 3 a.m. and is that true or what? Like, is it a bit of mayonnaise on that?
No. I remember when I first met him. That was this year, actually, the first time. I didn't think I'd be nervous, but I love Two Guns. I don't know if you've seen that movie with him and Denzel.
Yeah,
I'm like, don't be a nerd. Don't fucking quote the movie. Don't be a nerd. Don't quote the movie. Yeah, fuck me. That's probably the last thing he wants to hear. And again, just a cool, low key dude. And then he was telling us, I'm up at 4 or whatever, I work out, I do this, I go, and he's so regimented. I'm like, because it's not me. I was like cringing. I'm like, I don't know how it's impressive.
Yeah.
Because he's like a father of however many kids and he's a superstar in his own right. But it's just so cool to see that, like, even when we did shoot with him, everything's scheduled. No matter what, he's like, if we were talking and we had to be done at 11:15 and it was 11:14, he'd cut it and leave no matter what.
Really?
And I do admire that because I'm like, wow, someone that sticks to their word and has their own life and is about their own business and has their own boundaries is so impressive to me. But especially, like, he's also a very giving person at the same time. So it's kind of like a weird dynamic, but same thing. He's so, so chill and his team. I remember his team, they follow him everywhere. So cool. And they just, again, want everyone to be calm, happy, you know, in the moment. Let's just enjoy life and the time that we have.
How many in his team?
Fuck. I remember at least the guys that were there was about 4 or 5 of them, and they came to the workouts and they jumped in as well.
Yeah.
Like, I think he's known most of them since he was a kid, and they travel with him everywhere, and I was like, far out. You must be a good person.
Yeah.
To not forget about those that, like, helped you get to where you are and to still be helping them to this day. And then, like, some of them were in their 60s working now. I was like,
so he's carrying them boys around still.
Yeah, I was like, shit. And that was cool because they work hard. Like, he is fit.
Yeah. So, how old's Wahlberg now?
You're asking the wrong person. Yeah. I don't know. He's 50, 50.
Yeah. Nah, he's a beast. And that's why, that is true with his routine.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone does say routine, but I'm a bit like you. I'm a bit, you can't be whacking in podcasts at 10 and like, hang on, just push it back to 15. You know, Marky Wahlberg would be out of here if he was coming on Tommy Talks because we're getting coffees, we're talking shit before. Like, you know what I mean? Like, 15, because his day is literally, when I saw it, I mean, everyone's seen it, but if it is to the letter like it is, every 45 minutes, I mean, there'd be no conversations, you know, talking shit on the side. It'd be in and out.
Yeah, literally.
And he is fit. I've seen him.
So
fit. You know what I noticed with Wahlberg is on his Instagram, he wears like golf gloves when he does chin-ups.
I reckon
that's actually not a bad shout because you know how you get the...
I don't do chin-ups. I couldn't tell you.
Oh, yeah. Well, I rarely do them these days as well. I used to love doing chin-ups until I tore my rotator cuff, but that's another story. but, yeah, the old golf gloves. I've never thought about that, but golf gloves and doing gym. I mean, you'd probably get a few looks in the gym, but you'd save the mitts. You know when you get all those calluses on your hands?
Yeah, no, I get that, but I'm also just like, that's on you. I don't even... The whole glove thing is not my thing, but I don't judge.
Yeah. Back to 45 quickly before we move on to the athletics and the Olympics coming up and your campaign. But how is F45 going? Because there was, I think, 2-3 years ago, maybe before COVID, there was a bit of a, you know, there was all this noise about F45. Is it on the stock market, F45?
I honestly don't.
You probably don't even care about that stuff.
I don't keep up with it.
But is it like you can see it growing? You can see like that every session you go to, it's packed.
Yeah.
Obviously, you just said there, you know, we're announcing this. Like I'm a part of the furniture.
No, you are now.
The 13 new ambassadors. Like it must be going really well.
I mean, I think it's going really well. And again, with the news, because I don't watch it, I genuinely can't.
I don't watch it either.
And especially, I'm like a speak when spoken to person. So especially with negative drama and all that, I just try, you know, not my monkeys, not my circus type of thing. Because I've always, you know what it's like being in the limelight, especially with what we do as athletes.
Well, I don't, because I was never in it. But yeah.
No, but it's like, I tell you what
Mommy, so I'm a teammate. Hey, brother, don't worry about the. Don't worry about it. Yeah, it's
don't
all good.
Wash up as well. Mum always said, she's like, don't believe everything you hear on the news, right?
I don't watch the news. Yeah.
And it's like people only believe what they want to hear and what they want to believe. So that's why when that stuff came out, I'm like, you know what? Take it how you want it. It's going really well. I'm just staying in my lane, doing what I'm told and having fun. Nothing else matters. And I think that's what's going to show next year is that F45 is doing fine. And the new athletes that we've signed on are honestly like 12 or 13. I can't even, I think I am the 13th. So 13 of like the best people you'll ever meet. And I'm just really excited to see where it can or where it will head.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's a good model as well, especially bringing in international, you know, figures and
for sure.
Grow. Yeah, they all have their own communities naturally, bringing everyone together. Yeah. I mean, when I've seen you do them, even like I remember you doing these ones in like the park at Queensland, next minute you're in Double Bay, next minute you're there. I'm like, but there's people coming from left, right, and center.
Yeah.
So it's amazing what they've been able to do.
Yeah.
And even you just rolling in, I just like, Morgs is on fire. Like, you are the pinup girl. Like, you are the face of it. Yeah, it's crazy.
It honestly is because, like, I don't know. It's like it still hasn't hit me. Do you know what I mean? Because, again, I just grew up in Werribee thinking, oh, all I want to do is go to the Olympics and then I'll figure out my life from there. And to see where I started as a kid to where I am now, I kind of sit back sometimes and I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, especially being a woman of color, it's really unheard of. You know what I mean? Like, they always go for the blonde, blue-eyed ones. And I don't want to offend anyone. It's just look at the stats, right?
Yeah.
So when I did get that gig, I kind of almost cried. I'm like, fuck. Now I felt like I had a bit of pressure on myself to be and act a certain way. And I thought, you know what? Fuck it. They wanted me for who I am.
Yeah,
and
well said.
Whatever. If they don't like it, then
it's like when someone gets voted in as like a captain, they sometimes tweak who they are and what they do. And it's
you
like,
do that.
Bro, we voted you in to be who you were, you know?
Yeah.
And I know there's a lot of pressure that comes with it, but yeah, it's good that you've got that mindset.
Yeah.
Well, you've got great energy for it. I'll tell you what, if I roll an F45 and you're in there, I do, but I'm just, the last one I went to, I had sore hammies for a week doing these RDLs and a bit like you, I was throwing weights around. I go, I haven't done this in years. That's why I was that sore. I almost need to do my own little, you know, tutorial before rolling in. I hate getting sore. That's one thing. Cause you know, I love running. I hate getting sore in my legs.
Yeah,
like hammies
doms?
And the doms and that. Yeah. It just knocks me for six. I get doms for like 3 days on that.
Are you serious?
If I do like exercise I haven't done, like especially leg weights, you know when you're doing all those lunges, split squats, like lunge jumps, all that kind of box jumps.
Okay,
because I've got the calf tendon.
To see this.
With the calf tendon stuff that I did, I mean my calves are sweet now, but doing a box jump, I just think, oh, don't snap it.
You know, really?
I just don't really want to risk doing box jumps.
Yeah.
That's just me personally.
You can take your time. Sometimes I'll honestly say if I'm in a session, I'm like, oh shit, better get content. Like, you know, I just have my own little break.
Hey, that ain't happening for the guy that's in there. The guy's going, hey, man, get back on the box.
Yeah.
I think the first session I did was in Queensland and the box jump. It was at the end of the session.
Oh,
and I was doing them well, but I was training my ass off. It was the end. It was the last one. And he's like, mate, I reckon you can go higher. And I'm going,
no.
Put another box next to me. And he's making me jump. I go, fuck it. Should have looked more fatigued.
Yeah, honestly, that
I
is
walked
so
out of that
funny.
Joint like just cooked. But
so
that's
good.
Very good. Well done, because you're right.
No,
girl
you.
From Werribee. But you've got you've got great energy. Don't worry about Beckham walking in the room. You've got great energy. So you've done an amazing job, and I'm keen to keep following because F45, it's kind of living through your Instagram, seeing where F45 is at. The amount of places you've how many like F45 studios do you reckon you've hit before I wrap this topic up?
Oh, I couldn't even tell you. Easily over 300.
Yeah,
400 in the. I couldn't even tell you. I should start keeping count.
You would have met a lot of cool people.
Yeah. And that's the thing you do. The thing is, I actually have met a lot of cool everyday kind of people that I'll still follow and check up on social media to this day. And that's the part I love is like I went to F45 Hawaii just before coming home and now I've got the girls coming to Australia and I'm going to pick them up and we're going to, you know, have a bit of fun down here. But it's like, fuck, they're like my sisters now.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing I love is that everyone does make you feel like family. And I think especially with going from 2020 to where we are now, that's probably the most important thing about the fitness industry and any industry is not just getting fit and, you know, having your goals, but also like that community feel, you know, and that's the one thing I love because I hate bullying, I hate exclusion, I hate all of that stuff. And that's not at F45 at all. Where you might see it in other areas, in other gyms, in other businesses. It's just not a thing. So
yeah, it's amazing.
It's my favorite part.
Yeah, everyone comes together and it's a great way to meet people.
Yeah.
Well said. Let's talk about the athletics and where you're at. Where's the rig at? Paris, we've got it there, the 1st to the 11th of August, 2024. Yeah. Geez, that needs to be, I need to find myself over there. I've heard so many stories about the Olympics and if there's, you know, I just would love to be doing a little roaming, you know, like a roaming Brian or just imagine doing that around the village on the outside.
Oh,
like,
so good.
It would be great to, you know, have a goal like yours. But how's the body? How's everything going? Like it's, you know, we kind of see all your, as I said, you see all these sessions you're doing and you can hardly breathe after them, but give us an insight on like what kind of training program you've got leading into it.
I mean, this will hopefully be my third. I'm still treating it as my first because you just never know when you're going to make your next Aussie team. And the last like 2.5, 3 years, I've been injured and sick, in and out of hospital with, you know, personal issues, whatever. And I just said to my coach, it's nice now that I'm 29, fuck. I made my first Olympics when I was 21. And it's crazy to see the evolution of Morgan from 21 to now and the things I've gone through. It's kind of crazy. And I said to her, we're finally fit. We're finally healthy. Let's just tread lightly and keep it that way until the 11th of August when we can cross the line and say we're done.
Yeah.
Because right now we're focusing on the 400 and the 800. I would like to try and qualify for both. And then the relay obviously at the end. But training for me looks like elliptical and gym on Monday, hard 400 specific stuff on the Tuesday on the track. You got to come down.
Yeah, I do.
Lakeside, 5 p.m., just saying. Wednesday.
I like 5 p.m. That's good.
Yeah, it's easy, especially in summer. It's the fucking
best. I hate running early.
I love it. Yeah, nah. Sometimes you just need to chill. Wednesday's gym, elliptical to keep the fitness up.
Hey, on the elliptical, because I don't mind the elliptical. How long are you going on that? Yeah, I got one at my gym. What do you do on that?
I usually just Real Housewives, 45 minutes.
That's what I do. I put a little NFL on, a little show. Your head's going up and down on the screen, but it like it distracts you for a good 30.
It's so good. Otherwise, sometimes we'll do a session on the elliptical where it's like 2 minutes hard, 1 minute off, 2 minutes hard for about 40 minutes.
Yeah.
I love that because time just flies.
And you get you sweat. Yeah.
It's the best way to get fit as well when you're injured. Mm. I love it. Then Thursday's just a long kind of, you'd like this one, 1K session off of 60 seconds.
So run a K, then have 60 seconds off?
Yeah, by four, maybe
five. How fast would you run the K in?
I used to go 3:45, which is so slow. Now I'm down to about 3:25.
It's quick.
Yeah. And I'd like to get to like 3:15. I know it's a bit ambitious being an ex-400-meter sprinter, but I just understand you need that tank. You need the engine.
Yeah, yeah. And then when you have the 60 seconds off, how many reps of that are you doing?
4 to 5.
Wow. Yeah. So it's like a 5K session. Yeah, that'd be hard. I'll try that.
Yeah, that's good. You'd kill it because you're fit. You're like talented.
That's quick.
Like, you can run.
I can run, but I can't. I'm not there yet. I'm starting to bank some good sessions now. Yeah. I'll definitely. I could do that. That 1K is 10. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, and then Saturday, Friday's sometimes a day off. Or I'll jump in the like F45 gym, and then Saturday is. I honestly am in bed at like 8 on a Friday because I know Saturday's going to fuck me up. It's just 800 grueling sessions where the vomit comes.
Oh, my God.
And then, yeah, Sunday's kind of like a walk, jog, long run kind of.
This is the money. Go to the Saturday. So when you're putting yourself in these, you know, taking yourself in these places mentally, physically, what are the sessions? And like just this is what I don't miss, but I do miss. You know what I mean?
It's a weird thing.
Like I miss having that. Rocking up, coach drilling me, and then I just, you know, in your head, you're thinking all these bad things, and at the end, you just want to give him a hug and say, we got through, thanks, mate, and then you're ready to just,
100%.
Yeah, you're ready to kind of just chill
it's
out
like
Sunday.
It's the weirdest feeling. It's the most addictive thing in the world, right? Like the other day, we had 6x300, as hard as you can go.
So genuine sprints.
Yeah, 6x300 off of, I think it was 6 or 7 minutes rest. But you got to go as hard as you can
every
time.
So you're pretty much doing, 6 to 7 300-meter, like, sprints.
Yeah.
As if you're in a final.
And it sounds so easy. I'm like, run 300s. I got to the fourth and I honestly started seeing, you know, like when you close your eyes really hard and then you open them and it's like all fucking twinkly and shit.
Stars, you're about to faint. Yeah, I know the feeling.
Another session I would love for people to try. It's 4x400 race pace of 5 minutes recovery. Sounds easy.
No, it's not. So that's... I can imagine the feeling after two. You'd be like, I'm cooked. Like I'm cooked, but I got two to go.
Yeah.
Do your times come down? Heck, like, or are you kind of maintaining good times there?
When I'm fit, I'm maintaining.
Yeah.
When we first start out, I'll go like 57. So say we go through in 57, 58 for the first lap of an 800. Like 57 for the first one, 57, 58 for the second. This is the first time I did it. I think the second one was like. The third one, sorry, was about 64.
Yeah.
And then the next one, my coach was like, do you want to do it? I was like, oh, yeah, 68?
Yeah.
Which is
cooked.
Like deplorable.
Yeah, you're cooked.
But now it's really cool because now that I understand my body, I'm older, I'm fitter, I'm a lot stronger, more resilient, I think. I can do 57s, 58s like it's nothing. It's now just mentally getting to the track and to the race because I haven't raced properly for 3 years and being like, fuck, let's just go. No one else matters, nothing else. Because you know what it's like when you step out on the field.
Mm.
It's not just how you play, it's how you look, how you act. Everyone's going to have something to say, and that's what I'm trying to, like, filter out is, all right, we've done the work, now let's just show it, pack up and go home.
Yeah,
get in. I don't have time anymore.
Yeah, yeah, get in, get out. Yeah. Just got to get your work done.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like that. Well, it is. It's work.
Yeah, 100%. I'm glad I'm enjoying it now because the last 2 to 3 years, like I got dropped after I partially tore my Achilles in 2021 leading into Tokyo, which sucked. And I'm not one to tell people, oh, my God, everybody, I'm injured, feel sorry for me. I thought, fuck, let's just get through the Olympics and I'll get the PRP and put myself in a boot later. Obviously shouldn't have, probably shouldn't have even gone with a tear. Mm. But I'm still proud that I was able to make a team with a tear. Mm. And I said to my coach, I'm not done yet. I want to actually get to an Olympics healthy, mentally and physically, because it's never happened before. And now that I'm 29, I'm a little bit more mature, maybe. I don't know. I don't really think like,
oh, we're always,
I think,
we can be either all.
Yeah, I'm more mature. You know, I understand the game now. So I think Paris for me, I don't know if it'll be my last or not, but it's all just about getting it right. And I thought I would retire, but then I heard LA is the next one and it's like one of my favorite cities.
Is it? LA the next one?
I'll only be 33, so I'm like, fuck.
That will be your last one.
There's no chance of me going to Brisbane.
Yeah, there's no chance you're retiring either. Like, you got to have a crack for LA.
LA will be, oh.
If not, just set up an F45 at the front if you don't make it.
Sad. And all my friends are there. Like, one of my good mates, Christian, he lives in the Pacific Palisades. And I'm like, man.
LA, wow.
Imagine the parties after.
Yeah, LA will be, they'll put on a
clinic.
It'll
be the best one.
Would SoFi Stadium be like, would they put the.
Sure, actually.
Would they make that the Athletics?
Sure. Could you imagine?
Wow, I could, yeah. I could.
It would be insane.
Yeah, there you go. Back to your so what are we? So it's like Jan. So you've got, you know, however many months, not long, but do you start to, with training, are you like, you know, you're just getting to the finish line, but are you starting to really ramp it up? Like, are you starting to, you know, when, what's the training program look like in terms of, because you're doing 400 and 800. It's not like 400's high. Touching on sprinting and then 800's, you're not sprinting, but you're not far off. They're two probably, I believe, like.
The hardest 100.
They'd be the hardest events to train for as well. Because you'd be taking yourself to some, you know, even just in the gym, it'd be a different program. You know, you wouldn't be doing explosive lifts to get really powerful, but you almost kind of got to do them as well.
So, it's like, how do you know?
Well, I understand how it works. So, but that's why I've always loved running. Well, you know, I used to run state when I was a kid, but I never had the explosiveness. I'm not explosive. So when you run against people that, you know, you got a long, got good cardio and all that, you can long distance, but it's the sprint. And that's why 400, well done. Oh, I don't know how you do it. What are your quickest times in a 400 and 800?
400, 51.25.
Jesus, that's quick.
50.04 relay split, which for some reason still haunts me to this day. Because also, if I saw 49 come up on a split,
you'd love it.
I probably would have retired in 2016. I'm like, fucking done. Have a nice life. And then, the 800, 2 flat, which again burns because both aren't sub. And that's all you want as an athlete is to run sub 50 and then sub 2 minutes.
Really?
Yeah. And that's what's killing me is like, I just don't want to retire until that happens.
You'll get that.
I think I will. I should have. I honestly should have in 2019. But again, just mentally, sometimes I just didn't have. I'd go in with 90% belief. And if you don't have 100, that shows. That's why it's 2 flat, 0.06.
Yeah.
Not 159, 99.
Yeah, you'll break that. You'll break that. Do you ever review your stuff on like tape?
No, so like in the 400 more so.
Look at your form here. If you had to fix that, you could have got under 2 minutes.
Yeah, and you just know what not to do next time. Yeah. It takes me about a week. I can't really look at anything because I'm a sore loser. So I'd be like, fuck that. I'm stubborn. Then it gets to Friday. I'm like, okay, let's just see.
Yeah.
Like, you know, run shit. But I try not to beat myself up now because it's like I'm 29. I know I'm nearing the end of my career. So let's just fucking – I think I'll run faster just by having fun and like telling everyone
you just
sorry, I don't mean to swear so much, guys.
It's all right. We've all sworn on this podcast. I'm just thinking it's when you run a 400, I don't care what anyone says, you can't just go you can go 100%, but there's a bit of like strategy towards, you know what I mean? So when you run the 400, are you 100% sprinting the first 100, then looking to really like level up form on the back straight? And like, what's your,
how do you know this stuff?
Well, I love running. I love it. I love it. I love athletics. Like, I love it. I could sit in the stands and watch track. Like, I love watching people sprint. It's so much fun. Yeah. I reckon it's like the Olympics when it's on.
Oh, it's hectic.
But like the track, fucking love it. Like, I would love to just sit in the stands and just watch people run all day. It's so impressive. You feel sorry for everyone because just to get there, you know, the 0.00, you know what I mean? Like, that's why I really get around anyone that does individual sport because it's one injury off or 1 second off. Oh, it's just heartbreaking, right?
Yeah.
But it's amazing what you do. But when you're running the 400s, I remember as a kid watching a few pros talk about the way they run it. What's your strategy? Because obviously, there's some people go really hard at the start and all some people go as hard as they can for 200, then kind of save a little bit on the bend and then sprint home. Like, what is yours?
Mine, we had four elements. So for each 100, first 100 was get out hard. Then second 100 was float. So you still want that turnover, but it should be effortless down the back straight. Because if you're tense, then you're just using too much energy for the last two. And then third 100 was to just work the bend, because that's when people start to fatigue because you're on a bit of an angle.
What's work the bend mean?
Work the bend just means like hips high, hold your form, and then just understand that you're running into the bend ready to whip off of it.
Yeah.
And then you want high, like you want a lift to then come home strong because you're going to be dying of lactic anyway.
Yeah.
But the last 100, I'm like, I loved finishing. If any of my races you could watch, my finish was the best.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And I'd just be like, fucking pray and go. Like, I didn't give a shit.
The crowd G'd up as well.
Yeah, it's the best feeling. That's the one thing I miss, and that's why I'm going back to it this year. Is there something about, I respect every event in athletics, I get it. I know how hard everyone works, but there's something about sprinting. It's just the 100, the 200, the 4, it's the best fucking feeling being in the peak shape of your life and coming off that bend and people just like yelling, you're like, yeah, I've got this.
And they're yelling that, like, they could be screaming for the vote, like the girl next to you. But you're like, it feels like it's you. So you're like, oh, they're cheering me on.
Yeah. Or like, someone's catching me. I better fucking go even harder.
Yeah. I remember even like juniors, like you'd be running in the Olympic Park, like when you'd be running down there. And I used to, when I was a real kid, I ran for Gisborne. And like, Gisborne's the tiniest little run club. Well, I don't know what it is like now, but. Like, there was just me, mum, dad, maybe my sisters if they come. And then, like, you know, all these math, like, Essendon would have a heaps of crowd there. Anyway, I'd just be, like, almost pissing my pants, like, that nervous before the race. But then you come home hard and everyone's screaming and you kind of get this adrenaline
it's
rush.
It's the best. And especially in the state, my favourite was Beijing 2015 World Champs. Far out. I've never heard a crowd. Not even an AFL Grand Final like that.
Yeah.
Never in my life. And especially when Bolt walked out. There was a 100-meter final. I almost had to, like, block my ears. The whole stadium was shaking. I looked at the girls like, this thing's going to come down. And that's the part I miss is just, like, a packed stadium, fastest people in the world just getting at it.
Yeah, you just sparked my mind. Usain Bolt, like, you've been lucky enough to see him. You would have met him.
Yeah.
Like, who's the – let's stay on Usain. What's the coolest story you've got on Usain? Like, is there anything you've seen him do where you're like, what a weapon?
This is back to 2015 again. I would have been, how old was I? Far out. Probably like 18, 19?
Yeah, young.
Yeah, Jesus, take me back. And it was the world champs. And again, it was before his final. There was a group of us in this Team USA athletes hotel room. I'll never forget it. We're all just watching TV. Sanya Richards Ross walks in and she won, what was it, 2012? Or 2016. No, she won 2012, the 2012 Olympics for the 400. So she was my idol. And now she's on Real Housewives of Atlanta, so I love her even more.
Oh, really?
Oh, she's a baddie. She's actually dating an ex-NFL player, something Ross. I can't remember. He was a Texas boy. You
know
him.
It.
Yeah, back in the day, though. All these other athletes are there. And then in walks Usain Bolt. And me as a kid, that was the first time I actually really got to meet him. I was like, fuck, you know. Again, play it cool. Don't fucking freak out. It's the fastest person in the world. There's like eight of us. Chilling and watching TV and he's eating chicken nuggets.
Really? He's eating nuggets?
Yeah. And I'm like, we get taught, you know, do the right thing. Get him to bed by 9 o'clock. You've got a race. And I remember even at some relay camps, the Jamaicans would be up partying and then they'd come out and smash everyone. And he just comes in and he'd be playing Xbox or whatever. I'm like, that's when you know you're the best in the world.
Yeah.
That's when you know you're the GOAT, is when you can just eat chicken nuggets, play PS whatever, PS5, whatever the fuck it was back then.
We mean PS2.
PS, yeah. And it's like 1 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah, and then come out and brain them.
And literally, that was to me the coolest thing ever. I'm like, oh, I probably shouldn't take this sport as seriously as I do. And the other time was when he came for Nitro. I finally got to see, I've always, you know, we get to watch him live all the time, but actually being at Lakeside Stadium when he's just doing run-throughs and you're on the inside, you know, just watching him on the infield, that I still get like goosebumps to this day, was the coolest thing, seeing the fastest man in the world. up close doing what he does best.
Yeah.
That I just wish people could really, you understand nine, whatever is fast, but seeing it in real life that close was like the most mind-blowing thing I've ever experienced in my life.
How quick is he running? Do you know? I haven't.
Me and math, nah, maths is not, I fucking study fashion and draw for a living.
Yeah, that's good.
Don't ask me anything about
it. Yeah, okay. I was just wondering, like, what? How many kilometres per hour is that? You know, it'd have to be up there with a 40-something.
Oh, very close, for sure.
You're right. It's, what about now? Who's if you go to the Olympics this year, right, and you walk in, I want you to visualise walking in, you're at Paris. Who's the one person that's like the biggest dog in the building in the athletics game?
Men or women or just
both?
Men or? Women, I'd say Sha'Carri Richardson.
Is she the one that got done and then she come back?
Yeah, just for weed though. Like,
she was stiff. Yeah. No, she'd be a great story. I hope she's the sprinter, right?
Yeah,
she's the one with the long blonde. She dyes her hair. Yeah, she's quick
and she's just cool.
Yeah, like, she's real cool. She should win, right?
But it's pretty close. Like, you've still got Shelly Ann. She's about 36 years old. She's won every single Olympics. She's a baddie as well, and she's like a little pocket rocket. Then you've got Elaine Thompson. It's like Jamaica versus USA. It's going to be very exciting.
Yeah.
But I think Sha'Carri just brings that Usain Bolt kind of presence to the track, which people need. We need it. Like, you know, no one really watches track unless it's the men's 100, women's 100.
You need some personalities.
Yeah, and she's like, I think she's been in a Kanye West song or a Drake song or whatever, and she's almost, I don't know if this is true, but I heard she signed a $20 million deal with Nike. Like, this girl's big time.
Yeah, that's me.
But I just love that she doesn't give a fuck and wears whatever she wants. Like, I think she's a baddie. Men, though, it's like you've got Noah Lyles, you've got Fred Curley, you've got Zarnell Hughes, you've got the Italian Marcel Jacobs.
Yeah, the big dog.
He's big. Yeah.
He runs like, just a big, he looks like a weightlifter.
Yeah, no, he's huge. He's like
jacked.
He just
looks like power.
Yeah, so it's honestly anyone's. But I know Fred and I always back him. He went from running the 400 to moving to the 100 and everyone can't, like, they're just counting him out, like, fuck this guy, he can't sprint. And then he ended up, I think he medaled at every single global major championship in the 100. Yeah. I don't think people understand, when you, like, want to move on from your event, you usually go up, like I did. I went to the 800, no way I'm running the 100.
Yeah, coming down would
be
hard.
For him to go down and people still throwing disrespect, like, does anyone understand how fucking hard that is to scalp some of the fastest men in the world in your first year of running the 100 or, like, actually really giving it a crack? So my money's on him just because I love Fred.
Yeah, you love him, yeah. Sounds like me with the Melbourne Cup, picking a name that I like. Yeah. I don't think Fred's going to win, but the emotion, he'll probably come top five and just be like, it's a good story.
Fuck, he might not even make the team, who knows, fuck.
No, that's great. No, the reason I mentioned that is because, like, Usain Bolt, you know, you just probably don't have a Usain Bolt now.
No way.
Like, in terms of the presence going to the track, the crowd just, you know, rolling in.
I'll fight anyone that tries to, anyone that tries to tell me that they're on the same level as him, not just as an athlete, but presence, no way. Because I could ask you, give me the top, other than the names I just answered, that I just gave you.
It's hard. I mean, it's like Cathy Freeman and then it's Usain Bolt. They're like the two that come out, the standout for me, yeah.
I just don't think some athletes these days don't really understand the magnitude. Like, he's known worldwide, not just in the athletics community, right? Like,
yeah.
Oh, fuck. So it'll be a long time, I think, before we see another
someone
one.
Someone will pop up. It'll be some, yeah. But, I just thought I'd ask you that and kind of, see who that. What about when you're at the Olympics, like, the village, right?
I had a dollar for every time I got asked this question.
I don't want to ask the same things.
No,
but
you
like,
can ask me whatever you want.
Who's like, when you're all in the, like, you're in the track team, it's definitely the basketballers, isn't it? Like, the basketballers, you're all just can't wait to meet the basketballers. Is that right? Or is there another group, sport? Like, no disrespect to the rowers, but you're probably not going over the rowers and saying, how are you, fellas? Do you know what I mean? Like, no disrespect to the rowers, by the way. No. They work hard. Everyone I run past them on the Yarra and I'm racing them on the boats, you know what I mean? That's my only competition.
I'm trying not to react because I don't want to get judged. Except
for,
like,
oh no, I put myself out there. Every rower hates me now.
No one cares about Morgan.
But I'm just thinking, like, all the basketballers, like, they're all going, you know what I mean?
And they're so chill. I think that's the other thing, is like, they just walk around and it is funny watching from a distance all the other athletes, like,
oh, they never come screaming up to that.
Not even. It's just like, you'll be eating. They'll say they walk in, then you'll just see every table kind of like, you know, everyone just gravitates towards these, like, 6'8" fucking.
That's the smallest person, 6'8".
Yeah. But I love the gymnasts. I just love what they do. And it's so cute. In Rio, they were so young. They walk around like a little team. I'm like, oh, and then you watch them compete and you're like, fuck, damn, like, they're actually real athletes.
Yeah.
But for me, I just keep about my business. Like, I just love to go back to my rooms, study Spanish, play Sudoku, and just chill, because I try not to. I did that in Rio, you know, I got caught up in it.
Yeah, right. You don't want to waste too much energy. Focus on your event.
Yeah, because you still see it. And I think the older you get, you're just kind of like, yeah, cool. Like,
it is what it is.
Yeah, especially with the way I've been traveling and stuff, you kind of do become a bit immune to it, which is quite nice. You don't want to be that fangirl.
Mm.
The only time I did actually fangirl, though, was Naomi Osaka. We both finished lunch and we're going to, like, you have to clean up after yourself. You've got to put, like, your tray back, whatever. And I'm putting my tray back and I turn and it's her waiting for me to, like, pretty much get the fuck out of the way. I dawdle, right? I'm just, like, half asleep when I do my shit. I turn, she's like, hi. Like, she's just so chill. She goes, hi. Like, hey. I just fucking ran.
That's so good.
I was like, girl, I just met Naomi Osaka. She pretty much told me with her eyes to get the fuck out of her way and I left. But she, you can just tell, she's got that presence that, I don't know, I just think she would be a cool person just to hang out with.
Yeah, she'd be chill, I reckon.
Mad, yeah. Not so much cool. Rocks her boat.
Oh, no. The amount of, yeah, talent in one cafeteria, little lunchroom is be crazy.
But you can also feel the egos of some people as well.
Mm.
That's the funniest part. I'm like, we're all here. Like, it's okay. You can call yourself, but like, we're all.
There'd be any arguments or any disputes?
Nah, the funniest thing though, I can tell you, this is fucking hilarious. This was Rio, because Tokyo, going through COVID, there wasn't a lot.
Yeah, you look
at another person and they're like, hey, 6 feet. And you're like, fuck.
Yes.
But Rio, they had like, shit makes me laugh still to this day. It's been 8 years. I should get over it. But you'd walk in and there's a gumball machine at the entrance, but it's full of condoms.
Yeah. Oh,
on
really?
On my mum's life. This gumball
condom machine.
You like twist it. It's free. And I remember looking at it like, a bit weird to put it in the dining hall. Like, who's fucking in here? We're eating, right? Yeah. Okay. And I'll never forget, he must have been like a Ukrainian weightlifter or something. He was massive, like massive. And this was coming to the end of the Olympics. He just picks up the gumball machine, shakes it. Because anytime someone, if you heard the little
everyone looks.
Everyone looks and then – and. Every single table would start banging. Oh,
really?
Because they knew you were about to get some. So this Ukrainian dude walks in and picks it up and starts shaking it, puts it on his back and just leaves.
No way.
When I tell you, I lost it. I was like,
he's taking the whole gumball.
It was the funniest thing I had ever seen. And then I just knew. I was like, oh, we're at the Olympics now. Like, all those stories are, you know.
Jeez, the Ukrainian weightlifter's got a swingers party up there.
That is so funny. And that was the thing. It's like, I know you hear all those stories. I can neither confirm nor deny how many are true. But seeing that, I was just like, damn.
That is so funny. I could imagine the banter of someone going up. Funny. Imagine daring, well, hey, mate, go up and just turn the nozzle and we'll just, you know what I mean?
You've got to take it as well. Yeah. Sometimes they want more than one.
And stand up.
And imagine there's like 200 people just cheering.
Oh, that is awesome.
Like, that was actually probably a highlight.
Yeah, that is a highlight. That is good.
Funny.
I'm glad there's a story like that. You do hear all these stories. Yeah. I'm glad the big Ukrainian weightlifter, we'll have to get his name and put
it was so funny. The way he just picked it up, I'm like,
just took the gumball machine
home. Yeah, like, this is mine.
Are we talking like a big gumball machine or just one of those little pussy ones where you just like turn
it? I'm pretty sure it was big until he picked it up. Yeah. He made that thing small.
That's fucking funny. Oh, that's awesome. Well, all the best, honestly. Like,
thank you.
To you and all the girls and all the guys, everyone in Australia, it is cutthroat at the end. But whatever happens from here on in, just all the best. I hope you, there's nothing better than understanding someone's story. And because you've done it a few times, it's a bit like people that succeed early in life and then they have all these struggles in terms of like injury or mental or physical, whatever, and then they get to taste it again and they get some reward. You get emotional for them. So I just hope that you get that success later in the year, whatever it looks like.
Yeah,
you know, sometimes just getting there is the hardest part. And it'd be awesome. So all the best. Let's talk about like just your normal week. Like what are you like, you know, you're talking about fashion, but like what are you outside of all this stuff we're talking about? More like Morg's the person, but you talk about fashion, you know, I know you're heavily involved with Jagged. What are you doing with your spare time? You learning Spanish. Give me some Spanish. I reckon. Maybe talk some Spanish for me. Like what are you doing in your spare time?
What am I doing in my spare time? We'll do Spanish after. I've got to think of something to say.
It's going to be hard because I have to talk back in half English. I can't even talk English these days.
Because it's hard. When I'm speaking to someone who is Spanish, I'm like, oh, sweet. Because I'm speaking to you and like, I've got my Aussie accent. It's like, fuck, my brain just can't really.
It's a full shift.
Yeah. No, like I get into character. Honestly, what's her name? I think I'm fucking. Have you seen From Dusk Till Dawn?
No, I haven't.
She's so hot. What is her
name? So you pretend you're her.
Yeah, fuck, I love her. She's
I wish I could learn another language.
It's so good.
I don't think I've got the patience.
Really? Spanish is easy.
No, it's not.
It's honestly very similar to English, whereas like Japanese and stuff, I would love to learn, but it's all those characters and shit.
I didn't learn it because I was going to spit out how to introduce myself. I can't remember when I was a kid, like primary school, but Jesus, going out the back door.
I swear it's because we're in here and you're in the moment.
Bokawa Thomas Desu. That's my name is Thomas.
Mi nombre es Morgan. That's my name is Morgan.
Kind of got that. I could kind of go with the flow of that. Nah, that's awesome. How long have you been studying that for?
About 2 years now. Yeah, because I thought when I retire, I just want to move to Spain for about 3 years, find a fucking partner, have 3 kids that don't speak English and come home and be like, hola. Like, that was my thought process. I'll retire, get off social media and just move to Spain. Want a little farm by the beach, and that's why I started. But I also just think it's really cool I think you know what it's like when you travel so much. I'm really understanding of other cultures and I'm really patient with why people think the way they think. And that's why I think traveling is so important, especially for the younger generation to understand, you know, when we get people coming over, to not judge them for what they do and how they act because that's all they know in their country. I thought, let's just pick up a language, a bit of a flex. And when I travel to Miami, I can understand people, Texas, you know, Phoenix. Mm. Spanish is pretty much the second language.
It's massive.
I think it's a good skill to have. You just never know. And I do actually kind of have this dream to be in a Disney movie. And then I'd love to be on Spanish Netflix, like Money Heist. Have you seen it?
No.
The movie
Money Heist?
Yeah. No, the TV show.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
Oh, it's so good. So fucking good. My spare time, I'm very boring. I just like shop, study Spanish.
You've got great fashion. Like, you're obviously studying it, but yeah, you must be.
Oh, cheers.
Are you designing your own stuff for Jagged when you're running?
Yeah, I had 2 collections and then I designed the race kit, which is really cool.
Oh, so you're going to rock this for the Olympics?
Yeah. And
what's the legalities around this stuff?
It's just about logo size. So it can't be too big because they don't want it to outweigh the sponsors that they have on the, you know, fences and stuff, which is fair enough.
And it has to be green and gold?
No, because we don't run for the country throughout the year. We can wear whatever colours we want, which is quite nice. And then you represent Australia, that's just green and gold. And you have to wear whatever sponsor is taking on that role for that year. I don't know what, I think it's Puma this year.
So are you the only one wearing that?
No, there will be about another 4 of us. And then I just give that out to, I do like to give it out to a few up and coming athletes, a few younger ones that necessarily don't have the connections to get sponsored or whatever, because I was once that girl, right? Like I was with Adidas before Jagged, but before that I was with no one.
Mm.
And it is kind of nice knowing, oh, wow, I am actually being seen and I do love the sport and rah, rah, rah. So there will be a few lucky athletes,
that's good by you. Is it hard like starting, like these people that are talented, but, you know, it's the individual kind of, you know, sports these days, whether you're a swimmer or you're, you're in the track team or whatever it is, they almost have to stop because they can't fund themselves to a certain extent. Now, that's years ago. But now, is the funding getting better? Are you seeing more brands jump behind these individuals or is it still a bit of a grind?
It's still a bit of a grind. Like, I'm not being funded by Athletics Australia.
Yeah.
And I know people see my life and think, wow, she's got this sponsor, that sponsor, rah, 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 she's doing this and modelling. And it's like, yeah, but I wouldn't give it all up to run full time. But I almost would not mind more support, as every individual athlete wouldn't mind from their federation. So you can just focus on committing to your craft full time.
And not hustling and paying bills.
Yeah. But then I'm also like, well, I've hustled all my life. I understand that it's a dog-eat-dog kind of world, especially in the individual sport. And I think it's also like if you enter this sport or if you enter swimming or whatever, I don't want to speak for other sports because I don't know, but if you know that they aren't like the AFL, they're not like soccer, they're not like whatever else, then you've got to be willing to make sacrifices. You've got to be willing to market yourself in a certain way that is different from other people. And I do try telling, I'm now mentoring one young athlete and I might manage a few of my mates when I start to retire because I want them to understand, yes, athletics is here, yes, making these teams is cool, but you don't want to retire with nothing.
Mm.
Start making connections now. Start, you know, treating your sponsors like family, because I said this on the last podcast and when I was chatting with friends, when they were asking me, I'm like, well, you know, we say athletes are humans too. I'm like, yeah, but sponsors are humans too. They've got their own fucking lives and families. So treat them with respect and the way that you'd want to be treated. And I think that's why I've made some really good, long-lasting friendships where I'm hoping I can use these contacts for my own benefit and for my athlete's benefit back in the future. But then again, not every athlete understands that you really do sometimes have to think and weigh up, okay, I want to win this medal, but, you know, I've seen athletes win medals, break Olympic records, who still end up on Instagram asking for a job. I don't want to be that athlete. I want to set myself up now, still run, still have fun with it, but it's just as important to have a life outside of sport because you know what it's like. When it's not the Olympics, no one really cares about athletics. So, yeah, put all your eggs in the basket, but also have your eggs somewhere else.
Yeah, it's well said. You're building your life while you're kind of training.
And I'd like to help educate people on that.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, that's what we kind of, you know, being in this AFL system, it's like you got a lot of people that have jobs that drive these things, but I don't know what it's like in your industry, but yeah, you're right. It's important. And yeah, you're right about the sponsor stuff. There's a human element. I mean, hopefully the person that's in the role that's looking after that stays in the role because that's the person that you build relationships with. Yeah. But yeah, you're spot on. They can kind of work themselves into a job, you know, without worrying about life after, you know, athletics or whatever it is. So yeah, well said. Well, you'd be a great manager.
It'd be fine. It'd be so
They'd be all working at F45. You'd have a mad buddy. Who's your modelling agency? You're still with
IMG.
IMG. Yeah. Bloody hell. They'd be everywhere.
Honestly,
Netflix documentaries.
Wait.
They'd be doing everything.
That's like my dream would be, like my own personal dream for other people. I'd love to be like that Rich Paul of Australia.
Yeah.
They can just, have this, do that, like have fun.
Do it.
Fuck, marry Adele. Shit.
Oh, it'd be great. Although being a manager would be tough. You deal with become a psychologist.
Yeah,
you become an accountant. You become you're paying parking fines if you're looking after me. Man, that's things I used to make me mad. Like Mel, she wouldn't be listening, but if she is, I used to just call her up and I look back now, I was that dumb and that. I'd be like, Mel, I've got a Telstra bill. How do I pay it? And she'd be like,
serious?
Oh, just flick it here. I'll do it. You're useless. But then I'm thinking now that I'm out of the game, I'm like,
fuck.
I used to make them do the easiest things that I could have done. Yeah, well, that's what you're paying 4% for, right?
Say, like, this is just a question.
Yeah.
I'm going to try and say this in the nicest way.
Just say it rude.
Because I know there might be some fucking AFL lover or AFL player that's watching like, you bitch, you fucking don't know
basketball. No, they won't
But do you think it is because you guys are quite sheltered in that world? Like everything's done for you. So you just, not so much expect it, but it just happens naturally?
Well, it just becomes like you're 18, so you come out and they just look after you so well and then it becomes a habit. Yeah, I think
Nice.
I think, well, it is, but it comes out, it's actually hard when you transition.
That's
where I struggle with like, well, I'm half mic. Even yesterday, like my Telstra login is with someone else, like my old manager's email, just because they set it up.
Yeah.
So I can't get into it sometimes. I've got to go to the Telstra shop. Even though I can, it comes out of an account. But if say I have to like log in and do something, like you know, for example, when I was overseas,
data and whatnot,
I can't get into it. Just little things like that where you've just been looked after. It'll bite you on the ass when you come out because it's like you're handing over the kind of the keys. Hey, you know, you're no longer kind of need to be managed. Here's this, here's that. You know, go see your accountant at this time of the year. You know, all this stuff that
so
was just done for you.
Yeah.
I feel like my advice to younger athletes would be kind of like build your life, but understand what like your manager's doing for you when you're 18, 19, 20, but don't milk it. Like I milked it. I was like, well, yeah, just keep doing it for me. It's honestly like having a PA really.
Yeah.
But then what I realized when you come out, all these little things that you just don't really understand. So for example, you're paying, cause you're on good coin when you're playing AFL, right? But then you got phone bills, you know, you're paying rent, you're paying rego, you're paying parking fines, you're paying all your bills. Yeah. All of a sudden, all that stuff is getting looked after. So now when you're looking
all
up, well, it kind of set it up. So it comes out of it. Yeah. But like, I just feel like I was really like kind of sports manager. They look after you so well. But yeah, now that I don't have anyone looking after me,
that's
you know, this
insane.
Is 3 years on, I'm talking a year out. I just was like, wow, this
How
is.
How long did it take to like
Probably took me
transition.
A year to get my head around it all.
Really?
Yeah, like with everything, like just the transition of just the whole different lifestyle and
That's tough.
Getting your head around, just getting.
Life in general.
Yeah. Life admin, I reckon. Life admin can get away from you.
But that needs to be a clause, I think, as well. Like I do see a lot of industries use athletes for, you know, the TV and this, that, the other. And then when they leave, it's like, okay, cool, thanks. But it's like, no, there needs to be a clause that does help, like an exit strategy, like, okay, this is how you do this. It only takes a fucking month to teach someone that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a rare case though. Like I was just,
how dumb are we talking?
No, I'm kidding. Yeah, that she'll be right. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? And then it's like, what's this? Like, God. There's all.
It's just so funny. Oh, like
going all day about some just silly things.
But that's even with my experience as an individual athlete. Obviously, we have to kind of do my manager only really manages the commercial stuff, and I do everything else on my own. I think because I'm stubborn. But even talking to the girls and hearing about their goals and stuff, I was like, wow, I really don't want my best friends, if I were to manage them, to end up broke or lost or whatever. So I said, look. Like, we'll give you 20%. I'm like, no, take 10. Like, I fucking know what it's like to give 20%. You feel like you're selling your soul to the devil.
But
I said, look, all right, if we do this, I'd like to kind of change the narrative of a manager. I said, I'll take 20, but 10% of that 20 will go into a fund, like a trust fund for all of us. And when we hit 100 years old or whatever, we take it out and go our separate ways. And they were all like, what? I'm like, I was like, bitches. I need to make sure you guys are okay 10 years after the sport.
Yeah.
So if we take all of this, it's kind of like a long-term thing where, we've signed like X amount of dollars for all these deals, but some of it has to kind of last. Because I've been trapped in that hole where you just, oh my God, payday, I'm just going to fucking fly to the Caribbean. And then you get home, you're like, bills, what the fuck?
Yeah.
But that's one thing I'd like to see managers do is actually invest in their athletes or in their talent more to make sure that they're okay post-career.
I can only speak of, like, you know, I had Paul Connors and Connors Management. They're great. Like, okay, and also the AFL Players Association.
Yeah.
They set up all these things.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah.
So it's a completely different, I don't understand your industry, but what you're talking about is kind of systems that are already put in place. So maybe there is a space for you to kind of do that with the girls.
Anyone hiring at them? Yeah, what is it?
AFL Players Association. Yeah, well, that's what they do. Like, that's what... you know, you see all the bargaining agreements and all that. I mean, you know what? It goes over my head because when they used to rock up to the club, they'd be talking about all this stuff. And I'll tell you what, every bloke was the same. They were listening, they're being respectful, but they just want to know how much money they're getting. And and as soon as they talk about retirement, no one wants to listen because no one cares about retirement because we're talking about now, baby. And then when you retire, you're like, what were you saying about the retirement scheme? How much money do we get? Like you literally start, like that's another thing that I want to pass on to players that play now is like, understand what's going on. Like in, you know, the retirement scheme we have is great, but I retired a year early. I had COVID, I had a calf injury, but I could have scraped the bottom of the barrel and got a rookie contract potentially. I would have got a 10-year like clause on the retirement scheme, which is a good kicker, but I didn't really understand it because I never really listened because you're a bit stubborn in the fact that I don't.
No, that's fair.
At the time, like, no, I'm not going to retire. Like I've got more years in me.
You think it lasts forever, eh?
You kind of do, yeah. And then when it happens, you're like, shit. And then it's a big shift. So I think you're on the right track.
Yeah.
Setting up the girls' future young would be.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess they're just trying to grind and whatnot. No, 100%. Like you said, the easiest way home is just to win gold. But not many people do that.
But honestly, even if you do in athletics, if you're not, you know, Usain Bolt, it doesn't actually last as long as people think.
Mm.
You know, and that's what I've tried to make a lot of them understand is, especially if you're not winning gold, then.
There's a lot of skills that people don't realise as well that they learn from, you know, your Saturday sessions, taking yourself to these deep ends every week. Like people aren't doing that in the office. But if you applied the same thing in the office where you're like, I'm going to work my ass off to the point where I feel sick, which is, you know, not healthy. But that mindset, like they're hard to find.
Yeah, that's true. And
that's what people don't realise as well. They kind of sell themselves short.
Yeah,
so even when they say they did come to an end, they probably don't understand how many skills they've actually got.
Yeah, and that's the thing is like having trust that you can apply them to the real world. That's one thing I see with athletes is they don't have that confidence. And that's why I always say to the girls, like, people think I'm an idiot for going to all of these fucking fashion weeks and this and that. But I'm like, well, I know I'm personable, but I need to keep building those skills because you're going to meet a billion different personalities that you have to try and connect with.
Mm.
I don't want to just leave and be like, I went to the Olympics once, twice, three times. Hire me. Like, yeah, and? Like, cool, you ran around in a circle. Like, what else can you bring to the table?
Yeah.
You know?
Run around quick, mind you.
Yeah, but it's like, okay, cool, design me something. Like, no one gives a fuck.
Nah, you've got great skills there. I reckon I'm excited to see what you do in the next 5-10 years. But
well,
for now.
Well, I could actually be in Spain. It's one or the other. It's one or the other.
Well, Spain's a great place to be. Can't thank you enough for coming on. I could talk to you all day, but I feel like we like to do it. You know, this is a nice time to finish it up. I reckon we save one more, I reckon, with Morgs, you know, before the Olympics. We might get you on and I'll G you up a little bit. We'll do a little 30-minute exclusive. I might even get you a job. We might design some new sunnies. I know you want to build your life away, so here's the sales role. Walk around the cafeteria.
To be honest,
I'll get you to get the gumball machine, put some sunglasses, some Rick's Eyewears in there, get the condoms out of there.
And take a bit of spraying into Paris as well.
That'd be a new role for you and
that'd
the crew,
so
if they
funny.
Want to get paid on the fly. But hey, look, you don't come on here and go home without something. And these are the Malibu. These aren't gloss black. They're actually green. I think I've mucked the box up by gifting the other pair to someone.
That's all
right. These are brand new. So this is your vibe. They're for anyone out there that wants to look like Morgs, rickseyewear.com.au. Use the discount code ACES. What do you think?
I actually do love them. See, I love a sleek kind of cat eye type. This is a vibe.
They're aggressive, aren't
they? Yeah. I should have worn these the whole thing. These are sick.
They just come out. And
I love the color. Are you serious?
So we've got black, green, and I think we're
Green's mad.
You rate the green?
No, I rate these highly. Who designed these?
I'll say I did. The team did. I actually can't pinpoint. We leave them on. We have one segment here. It's Rick's on Tour. Now, you kind of already kind of know where you're going to go, but Rick's on Tour is a location world that you'd love to go with a couple of friends. And who would the two friends be in your industry and why?
In the industry?
Yeah. So when you rock up to track, you pick two of your teammates.
Track athletes.
Yeah, you have to pick two. Tell me why the two and where you two would go for the week, and you're taking your Ricks, so you're probably going somewhere sunny.
In the track industry? Because I got
okay, outside of the, okay,
no,
in the world.
Like,
let's go the world.
No, do I have to know them?
No, we'll just go the world. There's no rules here. We make this question up on the fly.
No, I'll do Who am I taking? No. If it's in the track industry, I've got to take Ella Connolly and Celeste Mucci because we just based in Nice for a month before Worlds. Well, they went to Worlds, I didn't. And it was the best time. Like every time we go to Europe. So I just start laughing. Something always happens.
That's great.
If it was just in general, I'd have to take my sister Brittany. And
Brittany be on the tunes.
You've met her? Oh, yeah,
I've met her once, but
best.
I always see you put videos up of her and she's
best.
Very funny.
Oh my gosh. She's actually like, she's the reason I am still here today. Like I fucking love her so much. I think I'd honestly just take her and no one else.
I just want her SoundCloud mix.
Oh, she doesn't give a. The thing I love is I'm like, okay, I understand that there's sponsors. I have to, you know, I can't just act like a bogan from Werribee.
Yeah.
Whereas Brittany is the bogan version of me. Like if you want to see me on a night out, you go and spend a day with Brittany. Sober, drunk, or whatever, she's the same person.
So good.
She's the funniest. I'd have to take her, and I think we're all going to go to Africa.
Africa?
Yeah, so I'm half African-American. Dad's from Miami, but the history's in Liberia, and I've never been to Africa. So I would just love to go and actually connect with that kind of culture because—
That's elite. I haven't heard Africa here. That's a new one.
Yeah, Africans can party. This isn't a shout. Well, it is a shout-out, but I think everyone should go and follow OK Africa on Instagram and then see the real version of Africa. You know, they're not starving. They're not this. They're not that. It's actually a fucking vibing place. And I think for my 30th this year, after the boat party in Italy, I'll probably just bounce. Yeah, and go to Africa.
There you go.
Yeah, you can come. Fuck, Ricks can come.
I don't know if I don't think I'd go that well in Africa. You know what I mean?
It would be so fun.
I think I need to stay in Australia for a year. I've done enough traveling. Croatia, US twice. I tell you what. Have you seen the currency? What's the conversion like?
Is I don't even know.
I think it'd be all right maybe in Africa. But there you go.
It just looks like a vibe.
Morgs in the Malibu Green Rixies there in Africa with Brit.
I'll actually make that happen.
Yeah.
Honestly, now that we've said it, I'll probably fucking just me in these.
Yeah, I love it. I can imagine it as well. Nah, that's great. Well, yeah, like I said, thanks so much for coming on. Could talk shit with you all day. And looking forward to seeing what you do in 2024 and beyond. It's going to be exciting. But yeah, thank you. And
thank you.
Appreciate your time and everyone out there that's tuned in. Hope you're having a great start to 2024. We appreciate your support. We've got some cool plans this year. And make sure you follow Morgs and get around her and her journey this year and all the other girls and guys in the track team. And wish them all the best. But thank you. Have a good day. And we'll see you on the next podcast, the next Tommy Talks podcast. Good night, even though they're probably listening in the morning. One more time, because I really mean it. I just want to say a massive thank you for all the support you continue to give us at the Oz American Aces. If you want to further support us, make sure you like and subscribe, hit the follow button so you can keep up to date with all our exciting shows and announcements. Righto, now it's time to give our sponsors a massive plug. Aces, I know I always go on about the Rixies, but I got huge news. We have all our styles and colours restocked on the website right now. It's been months, we ran out of stock, but we're back. Get online, Grab some sunglasses at rickseyewear.com.au right now and use our little discount code ACES if you want a 20% discount code on the house.